Tennessee on a lovely spring evening. You are listening to the Lance J Radio Network on WVOL, on our affiliates all across the country. We're doing something that we haven't done in a long, long time. We're actually trying to simulcast the show on Facebook. I don't know exactly how that's going to go. Me and Avriana, I know, have some live shows going on in the very near future, but it's very good to be here.
We're going to make it work.
We have an extremely important topic that we're talking about today on the show. I have Isaac Palmer Jr. with me, as you're used to hearing his voice for coming in specifically to talk about healthcare-related topics. But what we're talking about, we've been wanting to do a call-in show for quite some time. And if you're listening and you want to call in and discuss this topic with us, the number is 615-953-0317. That's 615-953-0317. Call in to talk to Isaac and myself. We're talking, Isaac, and I'll let you take it away. I mean, this is such a very important topic that's pertinent. I've seen this percolating on your Facebook and social media page as someone that's a leader in the healthcare community. I think it's a discussion that we have to have.
You and I
have these great discussions off air that are very private and intimate. We can't really discuss publicly, but we've talked about, I don't know if it's Black culture, I don't know if it's male Western culture, but there is a serious healthcare issue of people that refuse to get treatment. And
right.
Refuse to, and you and I, you being a, you and I both being in healthcare administration, it specifically harms our people of color, men of color that refuse, whether it's cancer treatment, prostate treatment, diabetes treatment, neuropathy treatment, so many things that could go wrong with their body that can be managed if detected early. But if we allow these things to fester for years and years, they become life-threatening issues, and it's a huge issue we've seen with COVID, people delaying care.
It exploded it.
And now you have people that had stage one cancer or small tumors that have turned into stage three cancer, and you're really in a fight for your life when otherwise you would have had a 90% survival rate. So we're talking about, Isaac and I are talking about that today on the show. We're taking calls and we want to hear from you. We want to hear from people on your experiences with healthcare. Why is there a lack of trust? What do you think, Isaac, as someone that's seen it at the macro level and built networks?
That's an interesting question. So I'm gonna get to that. First, let's talk about COVID. COVID, a blessing of COVID. If there is a blessing of COVID, it has pulled back the layer, the veil, to show a massive, decades old, hundreds years old, lack of resources and participation from men and Blacks. Mm-hmm. And so you and I happen to be both of those.
Right.
And it's hurting us doubly.
Definitely.
But it is showing us that something like coronavirus, something like diabetes, something like can take us out.
Right.
Because it's generally manageable, right, chronic diseases, generally curable chronic diseases, but because of our lifestyle habits, you know, how often we see the doctor, how often we ignore things, racism itself, we are doubly impacted by this. So I want to talk tonight,
okay,
about, first let's talk to men. I want to hear from men. Let's not make it a Black thing yet. Let's talk to the men about what is it that, so my famous quote from my grandfather is, you go to the hospital to die. I mean, that would come up with, hey, you know, granddad, you got something on your arm. You did that look like, well, you go to the hospital to die. He said that all the way to the end. And how we all have that uncle, we all have that father, we all have that grandfather. But there is something pervasive in men's culture that deny, 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 don't get checked, don't get checked. And I want to know why. I think it's one of the least researched areas in America.
Of course, because it impacts Black men.
Who's looking out for Black men?
Northwestern.
Yeah, let's get out a little violin. Who's looking out for Black men? But we sit at the worst health outcomes across the board.
true.
Life expectancy.
71 years.
71 years. That's 4 years shorter than our female counterpoints.
70.
Took off another year. COVID took off another year of black men's life expectancy. And so those of you all that are watching, I want to hear you in the comments. I want you to call in. Jay gave out the number. I want to know. I mean, you're one of two guys. You're one of two guys. You're either a guy that takes care of his health. And so I want to know why. I want to know what about your doctor you liked. I want to know what about your upbringing said this is something that you want to take care of. Or you're the other guy, the majority.
I don't know if people are going to admit that they won't take care of stuff, but it's very funny. Just as a person that played a little bit of sports, part of culture taught to play through the pain.
Play through the pain. So that's the other one.
I walk it off. And I'm you know, far from an elite athlete, but just playing in the small level that I played through. Hey, if your knee is tingling or twitching. Unless that thing is turning purple, you're out there trying to play and don't look to your coach to look for any mercy for any time off to heal. We adopt that culture as young people. So we adopt that culture in high school, on the football field and on the basketball court and on the soccer pitch, so to speak. And that culture permeates into adulthood.
Yeah.
Where we have these injuries, and we just kind of think about, I'm getting a little bit older, and I can't really feel my baby toe anymore. But I'm getting a little bit older. You know, I have this wound on my arm that's not really healing. But those are often signs of very serious health conditions that, if left unchecked, like you said, can literally take you off the planet Earth. Now, I want to talk about my story. I've seen this before. I have, as you know, Isaac, I have Lyme disease. And my experience with having Lyme disease, this is about 2010, I started having serious symptoms just out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. Literally was at a barbecue. Started feeling a little nauseous. Went home, said I'll sleep it off. Still was feeling a little nauseous three, 4 days later. I noticed that I started having dizziness. I started having just constant vertigo. And I started having tingling in my legs, not hands, but tingling in my legs. I walk it off for about 2 weeks, but eventually after 2 weeks, I'm still not feeling well. And at that time, I'm only 30 years old, so you're not supposed to feel bad at 31.
Right. So now we're at week
I'm not
two.
Able to play basketball. I'm not able to do my workouts.
We're week two things. When you have yet to see or talk to a healthcare professional.
Oh,
right?
Heck no. I wasn't going to no doctor then. I mean, there's just absolutely no chance of me going to a doctor at that particular time. I'm gonna put a pin in that. We're gonna go to the first caller calling in from DC. I have my man Bryant in D.C. calling in. Bryant's actually been on the Paragon Cup. So Bryant was a top 10 finisher in the Paragon Cup a few years ago. But I'm going to go to the phones and have my man Bryant Gadine call in. What's going on, Bryant? Good to have you on the Lance J Radio Network. How are things going? Thanks for calling in.
What's going on, gentlemen? What's going on, Mr. Palmer? Long time.
Hey, Bryant, what's going on?
I want to say that this is definitely important. You know, as I've gotten to my early 40s, that health is something that is big. But when I was younger, I felt like I was invincible.
Yeah.
I felt like I could just do anything. If I sprained my ankle, just tie my shoe real tight and I'd be fine. If I scraped my knee, I didn't have to do anything other than just, you know, suck it up and move on. But what I learned, because I work in public health, is that, you know, that mentality just sets us up for a bigger fall later on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've had some health challenges. Had both knee caps moved up a couple of inches, severed patella tendons, and that really woke me up. it really woke me up to the point where I was like, okay, I'm not invincible.
Were those work injuries, Bryant? Were those sports injuries? Were y'all playing ball? How?
Oh, those are sports injuries. Okay. I was on the court when both of those things happened. Both times driving to the lane in my late 20s, and then again in my early 40s. Both legs.
Brian, did you?
You know, it was something I never saw my dad. My dad and I never talked about going to the hospital, going to see the doctor. It was just something that just wasn't talked about in my circle. Even at school, you know, you were kind of labeled as, you know, a punk if you had to go to the hospital for anything, you know, other than a routine physical. That was it. It was a physical to get into school. But like I said, as I gotten older, I realized just how important it is to have routine checkups, to talk about family history. You know, I come from, there's asthma on one side of the family, diabetes on another side, and I'm dealing with older aunts and uncles that are now, you know, falling victim to, you know, diabetes. Found out that my grandmother died from an aneurysm. There are so many things that are not discussed in, especially in the African-American community as far as health. And that leaves the generations behind, you know, just walking around in the dark without any light.
No, that's a great point. Isaac, I'm going to jump in, Brian, because we have a lot of calls coming in. Isaac, you had a question.
Yeah, real quick, for the knee problems you had, what took you to the doctor? Was it an ambulance? Was it urgent care? Did you decide that you needed help? What brought you to the doctor?
Most of the time it was a friend because I couldn't take myself.
Okay.
Because I was hurt.
Right.
You know, one time was my girlfriend at the time. Another time it was another guy that was on the court. I have ridden in an ambulance before, and that was when I just ignored just simple health things like drinking water, and, you know, just exercising, where my kidneys were maybe about a week away from shutting down. And I had to ride in that ambulance, and that was humbling. And I had to spend the night in the hospital with at least six different IVs over the span of the 24 hours.
Thank you very much, Brian, for calling in. We appreciate you calling in. We got the lines lighting up. We got quite a few people that are calling and want to chat. What we're going to do is we're going to cut to a break, and we'll be back with more of the Lance Day Show after these messages.
That's some beautiful thing.
Why don't you give it to your wife?
My wife? How am I going to give it to my wife? I ain't married.
You got a girlfriend?
Yeah, I got a girlfriend, yeah.
So marry her.
Hey, you for real? I'm asking you to middle a diamond for me here. Now, all I want from my end is $8,000.
What I'm saying to you is you should give it to somebody that don't know any better, because that's a fugazi.
You are listening to the Lance J Radio Network. James Lewis.
James Lewis is the best. James Lewis is the best. He is above the rest. James Lewis is the best.
Rampage, the first lieutenant of the Universal Flipmo Squad.
That was interesting. So, Jeremy, that's what I think about your song. You get the Mike Tyson's punch out, Glass Joe, knockout, TKO. Jeremy's texting me right now. He's calling me a jerk for hanging up on him.
You are listening to the Lance J Radio Network.
You don't know me. Probably never will.
But I need you to do something for me.
Something that could literally
change everything.
You'll never get a thank you card. And yet, I need you to do it.
And if that weren't enough, I need you to do it as soon as you are able to.
If you do this for me,
I'll do it for you.
And for every single person you love.
Deal?
This is our shot to leave COVID behind.
You're listening to the Lance J Radio Network.
I'm actually going to go back to the phones. We have the lines lighting up. People calling in. This individual has also been on the Paragon Cup for the Lance J Radio Network, the sports talk version, and has a fantastic ministry that he's involved in, where he's talking about a lot of these same things, Isaac. He's talking about men's health. He's really focused on mental health.
Okay.
Really mental and spiritual health. But this is Pastor Myron Edmonds, pastor of Grace Community SDA Church in Cleveland, Ohio. And Myron's calling in. Thanks a lot, Myron. Good to hear from you, man. What's going on? Great to have you chime in.
But I've come on this show, man, to establish some order. That's why I'm here. I can only assume that if Lance J and Isaac Palmer are on the air at the same time, that it requires a level of maturity and order that can only come from me. That's why I'm here tonight.
Okay.
Caller, do you have a question?
Yeah. Where is the order, Pastor Edmonds?
Well, first of all, the two of you guys have all had stunted development in terms of your maturation process. We have known this for years. Nevertheless, you're talking about such a serious subject tonight. I figured that you would need a word of wisdom to step in here and save this entire show from utter failure. So that's why I'm here. That's pretty much why I'm here.
But what is the word? What are you beating around the bush, man? What's the word? Let's get to it.
Well, I mean, first and foremost, the word is this. Listen, I have fought with both of you. We both played on an intramural basketball team. And both of you have complained over the years about how I took too many shots and said intramural basketball.
I didn't know Isaac cared.
Well, Isaac did care at the time, if you recall.
Okay.
He was always bellyaching about not getting enough play time. Now, this guy has no hoop skills whatsoever. And then James, I mean, between you and Isaac, I mean, I guess I can say that if Isaac is in kindergarten and you're in, I don't know, second grade.
Yeah, I mean, I played. This is where you get on dangerous ground. I mean, I played varsity basketball at Pine Forest just like you did. I did not play as much as you did, but if I remember correctly, you did not start senior year. You actually sat behind Larry Perry, and you sat behind quite a few people. So, what?
That was junior year.
That was your junior year. But
Myron, Pastor Edmonds, do you see your doctor regularly? I don't care about your basketball career. I don't care about your gym shoes. Do you see your doctor
CEOs,
regularly?
Oh, okay, man. In all seriousness, man, actually, I'm glad you guys are tackling this subject. I'll say this to both of you. I've actually been trying to push for men's health in general. I do think that there is a stigma with mental health. And I think there's probably a stigma in general with men and health. It's almost a sign of weakness if one. And I was talking with Isaac earlier. I think men haven't really been given permission to take care of themselves. The whole concept of self-care and preventative health, right, things of that nature, don't jive well with the toxic masculinity that we have been given. And if I can just talk from a cultural perspective, I'd say especially black men, I know that's what we're talking about, who I'm sure Isaac has already pointed out, we're at the bottom of almost every health outcome category. And I don't think that's just because we don't eat right and we don't have great lifestyles compared to our counterparts. But there's enough research out there that says being a black man in America in particular is hard on your health.
Yeah. Stress.
Because of the stress. And I think a lot of the stress is the stress of basically trying to survive living in this country. And so when you're in survival mode, it's really difficult to think that seeing a doctor or seeing a therapist is not a luxury, right? When you got to pay the bills and when you got to, you know, pay child support or when you got to care for your family, a lot of guys literally see, and especially if you grew up poor, a lot of guys see going to the doctor or going to a therapist as something that white folks do because of something that
connects
to privilege.
You're letting your family down by wasting money.
Yeah, and it's seen as privilege. Yeah. I mean, really, yeah, we don't do that. I mean, My dad didn't go to the doctor until they got sick. You know, our people in general didn't do that. So I think what you guys are doing is important. I think we got to send the message that we are better. We are better to our families. We're better to our communities when we take care of ourselves. And I'm glad to see, and I think you guys are probably seeing as well, we have a new generation that seems to be more conscientious about these things. So I think we're in a good place right now in terms of trending upward, but there's still a great population of our folks who, for whatever reason, the social stigma, if it's racism, if it's lack of access to health care, that's a whole nother conversation. Maybe you guys have addressed that as well, who just are not taking advantage of it. And brothers are dropping left and right. Let me say one more thing. I joined the military about 18 months ago as a chaplain just because I wanted to serve. And one of the big issues in the military, why they are literally begging, I'm 44 years old, they're begging chaplains and mental health care professionals like me, who can barely pass a PT test, to join the military, is because they're struggling with suicide in the military. And the Air Force in particular had record-breaking numbers of suicide because of what people are experiencing. A lot of these are men. And so, again, there's a cry from corporate. There's a cry from the military. There's a cry from the government. Help us deal with these men. A lot of the men in the military, as you know, are minorities. And right. So I just think the message has got to get out there that, look, we are no good to anybody else if we're not taking care of ourselves holistically.
So we got to put a pin in that last statement and come back to it. No good to anybody else. But what I heard you say is, even if we got over this masculinity thing and you're not tough and walk it off, as black men, we still have we're getting hit from the other side, just being black, racism and all of that, the stress, lack of access. Right. So and that's what I started writing about, is we're at the intersection of these two things where the system is working against us and we are working against us as men, this attitude of I don't need to. And so we got to figure it out. I love the call. Thank you.
Yeah, that's a great call, Myron. Thank you so much for calling in. And if you follow Myron Edmonds, Pastor Myron Edmonds, whether it's LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook, he has a fantastic group that I'm a part of, the Winning Circle, where he really works with. It's a safe space, Isaac, where men can come and talk about health issues, spiritual issues. I think of Myron as more of a mental health person, but I've seen people testify about feeling comfortable talking about vices, addictions, failures. And one of the things that Myron brought up that I really love, he talks about the fact that a lot of men don't have friends.
Yes.
They don't have people.
Yes.
To talk. Now, you have a brother, and you have, you know, yes, you might be able to have conversations with your brother that are one-on-one. Y'all are relatively close in age. Myron has two brothers, and he might be able to have those conversations. There's so many men out there that don't really have any friends.
And men think they talk.
Right.
Men think they talk deeply about things.
Really talking, yeah.
But I was just looking up the data. Men under 45, the second biggest cause of death is suicide.
Oh, man, that's unbelievable.
That means you're not talking. You're not talking it through. Yeah, don't have a network.
Thanks so much for calling, Myron. Greatly appreciate it, man.
Hey, can I say one more thing?
Can I
say one thing just before you let me go? So tomorrow night we're having a thing called Men's Night. It's on Facebook. They follow me. But here's the thing. We're talking about male loneliness, and I think that's where you were trending.
Yeah.
Like, they're saying now that male loneliness is more dangerous than cigarette smoke.
I don't believe
that. The health outcomes connected with male loneliness trend in a worse direction than things like substance abuse. Mm. And so, and there's obviously a cyclical connection. So, yeah, man.
Yeah, man.
Thank you guys for having me.
Thank you, man. And thank you for your service, man. You may be a complete jackass, but you have served the United States of America, and I can't diss you for that, man. You're out there doing your thing. So blessings to you, man. Always a pleasure.
Yeah,
that's those are some really great points by Pastor Edmonds.
Loneliness is a big thing. You talk about walk it off. You talk about walk off a sprained ankle.
Right.
Men try to walk off mental illness.
Yeah.
And I'm not even talking about illness, because when you say illness, it's more diagnosed. I'm
right.
talking about those right. the feelings of loneliness, the feelings of insecurity, the feelings of ..
Right.
You got to talk that stuff through, man. When you experience trauma, I was just hanging out with a friend of mine whose dad passed.
Mm.
He went to the funeral. We talked it through as men.
Right.
I mean, we had a feelings conversation about what that felt like. And he talked about going to the gravesite. Mm. Men have to do that. If you bottle it up and act like it's not there, it is there.
Nah, that's a great point. You know, I remember as we go to a break, I remember one of my close friends, Josh Livingston from Pine Forge, a guy that I played basketball with, really close friends with. He passed away suddenly. He was murdered and passed away. I remember going to the funeral. I was maybe 22, 21. Mm-hmm. I remember going to the funeral, and I was trying my darndest not to cry at the funeral. And we think of how messed up that is.
It's not even just,
there's a part of it's like, hey, some of the boys want to be strong for the crew, the family. Yeah. But there was a part of it, Isaac was just like, I can't be a chump and sit. This is because my boy Josh would have made fun of me if I cried at his funeral.
Yeah.
And it's that toxic masculinity that's so stupid. And when I look back on it, I never let him go because I never let that out until 15 years later. 15 years after the fact, I was able to really be emotional about that issue. But we got the lines lighting up, man. Got some really good callers on deck. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to cut to a commercial. We're going to be back with more of the Lance Day Show after these messages.
He's the paragon of sports talk excellence. The Heisenberg of broadcast radio. The Wolf of Wall Street. You are listening to James Lewis III, host of the Lance J Radio Network.
Snitching on nobody from Harlem, man. I give you a couple cats down in D.C. doing their thing, out of town doing their thing, but I'm not snitching on nobody in Harlem because when I come home, I'm still going to be the king.
You are listening to the Lance J Radio Network.
Paragon 7 Studios.
James Lewis.
Quote, fame in flat earth world is not without its pitfalls. However, as Sergeant Standing, Sergeant is the last name of one of the individuals that's organized this convention. As Sergeant Standing in the UK movement demonstrates, he was booked to speak at several conferences before he gave interviews to the BBC and Good Morning Britain, in which he espoused his belief that earth exists under a dome like a snow globe. I can never get through this segment. These interviews reflected, quote, badly on the community.
Rampage, the first lieutenant of the Universal Flipmo Squad.
I'm going to keep it 100. I really don't care if the world is flat.
I just,
you know, you wake up every day. You breathe every day.
You are listening to the Lance J Radio Network.
Show. Got a lot of callers coming in, Isaac. I'm actually going to go back to the phones. We have a caller coming in from Maryland. You're on live with Isaac Palmer Jr. and James Lewis on the Lance J Show. Who am I speaking to?
I think you're referring to me. This is Frank Dent.
That's you, Frank. There you go. Frank, it's 301 number, so it looks like Maryland. What's going on, Frank? Thanks for calling in.
Most definitely. What's going on? What's going on? What's going on? What's going on?
Frank, thanks for calling in, man.
We appreciate it.
Most definitely. Most definitely.
You got something to say, or you want to answer a question? I got a question for you.
Oh, yeah. If you have a question,
yeah.
I'll
so check this out.
Go ahead.
I think you are my age. Let's assume you are. When did you realize that the definition of masculinity that you were raised with was wrong? I mean, just utter bull. So I'm coming off the last segment when we talked about this masculinity, toxic masculinity. You got to be tough. You can't cry at a funeral. You can't cry at a funeral.
Yeah.
When did you realize you're in your mid 40s? When did you realize it's you gotta get rid of that?
I would probably say when I got my heart broke and I realized that this pain is too much to apply those parameters.
Yeah.
And so for my own sanity, I had to redefine my emotions.
So give us a time period. Was this the Wu-Tang era or the Kanye West era? When did you get your heart broke?
You said which? How were you defining the era?
How old were you? Wu-Tang or Kanye?
Oh, that was Wu-Tang or Kanye
or Drake.
It was, let's say, 2000. Which hip hop artist would be attributed with the 2000s?
Yeah, I think that's the Jay-Z era.
That's the Jay-Z era.
That's
yeah,
the Rockefeller.
Yeah, that's Rockefeller. Yeah,
Jay-Z. What?
Big Pimpin', BLODs.
Jay-Z Clips. Yeah.
Right. Hey, but you were a grown man.
Right.
You were a grown man, well past your 20s.
Right.
Now, were you right? But it was technically my first real relationship. But again, it was the intensity of the emotions that made me be like, I could care less about what they say. I need to figure out how to stay sane. You know what I'm saying? That's like. Deep. So y'all can go bottle. Well, first of all, again, your emotions are something that you're dealing with generally behind closed doors by yourself. Mm-hmm. So if you're somewhere in your house not crying because that's what the world is telling you to, and it's affecting you adversely, then who the heck? Why? You know what I'm saying? Like that's just stupidity. So I just learned to let it all go and let my emotions do what my emotions are trying to do, because ultimately it's going to be for the betterment of me holistically.
Frank, if you don't mind me asking, what did you do to let it go? And I'm going to tell you about my experience.
Okay. Right.
I had an experience where I held things in for many years and I didn't become a whole person until I actually, did you go to counseling? Did you do self-help? Did you read books? Was it spiritual? What are some of the methods you used to move forward?
So when I realized that nobody can help you in these situations, right? You know what I mean? Like nobody. There's nothing anybody can say that, you know what I'm saying, means a damn. Like, because again, it would be one thing if they were saying it and the energy of the interaction had a healing property to it. And I'm not saying that doesn't exist. I just know in my life, I didn't have that. I do know that there's those rare occasions where there is, God will place someone in your life, maybe a friend or a mother but my family dynamics was just not, it wasn't set up that way.
Wow.
You know, and here's the funny thing. The one person that could provide the healing was the person that I was receiving the pain and rejection from.
I was going to go there.
We could get into the dynamics of how that happened or whatever, but literally that was the oxymoron in the whole situation, where I used to get the healing, and the affirmation and the comfort was the source that was now projecting a whole, you know what I'm saying? So, but let me answer your question. When I found out, back to what I was saying, when I literally found out for me, you know, I can't speak for everybody's situation, but for me, there was no one that can help me. That's when I was like, okay, I did grow up learning that there's this higher power, right? There's this, you know, this magical source that, you know, provides healing and, you know, can do all of these things to you know, restabilize a person. And so check this out. Everybody was telling me to go, oh, this is, well, I guess this goes to what we're talking about. Everybody was telling me to go get medical help, but I rejected that. And maybe when I look back in hindsight, yo, dang, this is deep. I probably should have done that, but it was that masculine definition.
It's just counter-cyclical to what we were taught to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, that probably caused me to have to suffer more heartache than I actually had to.
That's what happened.
It's that thinking.
That's crazy, yo.
It's that thinking that you come out of high school with, that you have everything the world needs.
Right.
You have it. You got everything your woman needs. Yeah, you got everything your job needs.
Right.
You don't have to grow. You don't have to go to any training seminars. You don't have to go to the doctor. I know it.
No, thank you very much, Frank. That's a fantastic call, and thank you for sharing parts of your journey. I think that it definitely have value to people tuning in, whether they're tuning in on the Facebook Live or people that are listening to this on WVOL or any of the radio affiliates that carry Lance J Radio Network.
Right.
We greatly appreciate it. So thank you very, very, very much for calling in and sharing that. My experience is such an interesting experience, Isaac, because, you know, and for time's sake, because the lines are lighting up, I was going to tell these stories, but we don't need it because so many people are calling in, which is a good issue to have. But, you know, the bottom line is I was misdiagnosed significantly with my Lyme disease. So Lyme was very rare in 2010. I was misdiagnosed. I was told that I had diabetes, but my numbers weren't diabetic. And then I was told that I went to an internist that believed that I had HIV, asked me if I was a down-low homosexual in front of my mom in the emergency room. And he asked me all of these questions. He actually said, he said, are you a homosexual? And I said, no, sir, because it's their job to ask that. And he said, I just want to clarify, do you have sexual relationships with men but don't consider yourself to be a homosexual? Now, we're a lot more evolved as society now, so you really can't take offense to someone asking you that in 2021. Yeah. But in 2009, you could take offense. And I've never used that type of language in front of my mom before or since when this person asked me that. But I went through the whole rigmarole of getting diagnosed improperly, was on 12 different medications before they found out what was going. That created a rift, two things. It created a rift, made me afraid to go to the doctor. Because I associated going to the doctor with getting butchered. I literally, Isaac, I had an instance.
But not just butchered, that interaction was terrible.
I had an incident where I would be going to the ER and to urgent cares begging for help because it just wasn't getting better. It's getting sicker and sicker. It's getting to where I could not drive anymore. It's getting where I could not take care of myself anymore. And I had an incident. I went to a provider in your community that you grew up with. I went to a provider. I was in the bathroom throwing up. I overheard the nurse saying that there's a junkie that's back in the bathroom. And me, so this was, we talk about privilege.
Mm-hmm.
And me and you, even though we're black, executives have access to service.
Mm-hmm.
We can get, if something's going wrong with us,
we can get it taken care of
if we go in. Now, they can't make us go in, but if we go in, we can get the operation. We can get the hip fixed. We can get whatever, the ankle fixed, whatever's going on. A lot of people that look like us can't. They don't have the money. They don't have the opportunity. But that was such a provocative time for me because I'm thinking that I'm above that because I live in a nicer community, you know, drive a nicer car. And this lady had reduced me to a junkie. And I felt like a junkie, even though I wasn't. So I have so many issues with the health system, and but then from a from
junkies
a,
think they're above junkies. I mean that's no way to treat that's no way to treat a junkie.
That's a fantastic point. That's a fantastic point. That's a fantastic point. But I didn't get over the mental anguish of all of those things, the sickness, losing stuff, losing my job. I eschewed care. I refused to go see a clinician about the mental health aspect. I'm stronger than that. I'm just going to get back, dust myself off, be a boss, make money, get promotions, which I did all of those things, move to Seattle. Move to Phoenix, move to Pittsburgh, director, vice president, nicer car, bigger house, pool, all of that stuff. I wasn't whole until I sat down in that chair. I didn't sit down in that chair for 6 years.
Ooh.
I was a completely radioactive person, consumed by what I had gone through, completely consumed. I remember waking up being angry at what happened. Just the sun hits the eyelids, angry. I remember going to bed, angry. I isolated myself. I've gone through that. And I just know, so when I, you know, when someone like Frank calls in, or whether it's Myron or Brian, people talking about their story, what either what they're helping people cope, if you're Myron and you're really in a role where you help people move forward, or you're Frank, you're just sharing that, hey, my heart was broken. That was, someone would say, most men would be like, man, that was 20 years ago. Right? You bringing that up. Irrelevant now. You're a grown bleeping man. We have to address those things because those things fester. Just like we talked about your guy with the Uber and the ankle.
Yeah.
That he had rolled his ankle, and that was ankle shattered. He's got ankle chips floating around his ankles. He got to get his whole ankle reconstructed.
Couple surgeries.
It's the same thing with mental health. If you're not right up here, you're going to be radioactive to anybody that you touch and come across, whether it's your kids, your spouse, whomever, your employer, you're going to have those tendencies. And it was difficult for me. I was almost devastated to realize that I need help. I need to go to therapy. Isaac, once I went to therapy, it was like a month. I was a different person.
They know
just
what they're
letting
doing.
All of those things out. It was just like unbelievable. It's like I've been suffering for 6 years. I went there in 90 days. I was back on my feet in a much better state. And it goes back to, I can't believe I wasted 6 years of my life not dealing with it.
So let me tell my story on the other side of the spectrum, only because I like people to understand that there is some very light mental health issues out there. They're not all heavy. They're not all diagnosable. They not all need meds. Through the pandemic, middle of pandemic, I mean, you're stuck at the house, right? I was going through some mental changes.
Okay.
Right? And I just noticed myself more and more.
Typical aging changes?
No. Just like, I don't want to say depression, but just, you know, just the lack of socialism. Right. I noticed myself in the mornings harder and harder to get up and do stuff. It took me a month to say something, to just verbalize to my wife, yeah, I don't know, I'm just sluggish. You know what she said? You should exercise. I got on a treadmill and it cleared it right up. Somebody would have to explain. Somebody would explain what but something simple like that, but it starts with acknowledging and saying to someone, something is different. Something is different. What should I do about it?
Now, one of the things in my personal relationship with you guys, one of the things that you and I have some great talks that we can't air. We talk about real stuff and we grew up around each other in similar type of environments. Do you think that you have that skill as an executive? Because it's your job to communicate with people. That's what makes you a successful healthcare leader, the ability to be authentic and communicate. There are a lot of people that don't have skills that Isaac Palmer Jr. has because that's not their role. They may be working in a stamping plant, working hard, driving a bus. They may, you know, be an entrepreneur and really a solo artist.
They got
not
skills
having
I don't
to,
have.
To manage teams. And they have different skills that you have. Where does that fit in? Because I've always noticed with you, it's very easy to have a conversation with you. Mm-hmm. Some people it's not easy to have conversations with. And how do we as men, what if it's just not natural?
You're an authentic person.
It's natural to talk. If you ask Isaac a question, he's going to give you a straight answer. Some people are not raised like that, and some people are not comfortable with that.
So this, you're getting to the crux of what little research is out there about black men is one thing says that black men have a tendency to follow their doctor's orders and see their doctors more if that doctor's black and male like them. And that's what you're talking about. That conversation is easier with another black male. I experienced it for the first time a couple of months ago. My primary care doctor is a black male. We didn't start off by shooting. We didn't talk about Kobe. But we got straight to the business at hand, and it was comfortable.
Right.
Just because I knew we had the same experiences.
Now I went, and at the, I think it's a good segue. So we have a we're up against the break, but I kind of want to talk because that's getting into the Match Foundation side that you actually have a group that you're the president of that really helps to create those type of relationships. And I agree. It's if it is my primary care doctor is a black male. Was it for many years. Moved to that when I started getting towards my 40s, knowing that family history, more susceptible things. Wanted someone that would give it to me straight, not just see me as a case. So we'll cut to a break. We'll come back more to Lance Day Show after these messages.
You are listening to the Lance J Radio Network.
This is Lance J here for Industrious Office Space here in Nashville. I'm constantly getting DMs and emails about the beautiful panoramic offices that we lease downtown overlooking the Music City. Industrious' offices and suites inspire productivity, and their modern design and amenities are unparalleled. They have a great staff and flexible lease options of 3, 6, and 12 months. Moving into our space has been the best decision I have made since becoming an entrepreneur. If you want to absolutely blow away your clients and turn your small business into a large business, go to www.industriousoffice.com and schedule a tour of the downtown Union Street or Gulch office. Trust me, you will not be disappointed.
If you're a man, you don't cry about it. You take life, the ups and downs. If you're a real man, you never go down, you just stay up. That's why I'm the world champion. That's why this sport coat costs $800, and that costs $200. And I don't know what that costs, I'd be ashamed to wear it. That's why I'm wearing lizard shoes and a Rolex watch, and I got a limousine sitting out there a mile long with 25 women just dying for me to go, woo! Because I'm the world champion, sucker.
You are listening to the Lance J Radio Network. In the sports talk radio justice world, mediocre quarterback play and porous tackling are considered especially heinous. On the Lance J Show, the dedicated detectives who investigate these vicious felonies are members of an elite squad at Paragon 7 Studios. These are their stories.
We're gonna go to the phones because I have a call in from Dayton, Ohio. This is Will in Dayton. I know that Will has a clinical background, and I'm very curious. Will takes care of COVID patients, and he's been on the front line during this pandemic. So he's seen this from you and I have seen it from the administrative level, but we're up on the 30th floor. Well, maybe you're not. Yeah. I'm definitely up on the third floor. I'm not going anywhere near.
I'm still on the second floor. I never made it back to the second floor.
But you might be a little bit closer. So, Will, first of all, it's good to talk to you. It's been a long time. I wanted you to call in to the Politics Hour so we could talk about guns and our affinity for the AR-15, the AK-47, the SP-5, and other automatic flamethrower Chapa style guns. But that's not. I know that's not why you called in to talk. So I'm gonna step aside. What are some of your experience? You being a clinician, you seeing this healthcare thing straight up. You've seen it through COVID. You've seen it through other chronic illnesses. What are your thoughts about what Isaac and myself are talking about?
Man, let me tell you what. First of all, I just want to say shout out James. Shout out Isaac. I haven't seen Isaac in about 20 years since 25 years maybe since high school. So,
oh, hey, this man, is that Will?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. It's been 10 summers, easy. But yeah, man, like I mean, you guys are just dead on, man. From the mental health to the disparities, you know, that we do see amongst Black people. COVID was rough. COVID was rough, man. We lost a lot of good people. Mm. You know.
Mm-hmm. And I want to before you go on, man. I want to salute you because I follow you on your gram, and you are always putting nuggets of wisdom out there. And you were in the vortex of this. You were there when people lives were being lost. You were a part of that. And I think just from a mental health, Isaac, we got to rally around our nurses and doctors that actually took care of this. I mean, there's got to be PTSD in people like yourself. And Will, you've always been strong, and you've always been someone that articulated your experience. You've been very candid about your thought about vaccination, your thoughts about the rate of death and all of that. So I want to salute you, man, and all of the other people that are out there listening that have been a part of trying to get on the other side of this pandemic. So definitely salute, but before you go on, I just wanted to say that before you went on with your comments.
Oh, man, I appreciate that, man. That really means a lot, man. And yes, the pandemic has definitely affected my psyche, if you will, you know. And we, you know, as Josh was saying, you know, we try to stay strong as Black men, this, that, and the other. But so I do see some counseling here in my near future. You know,
I'm glad to hear you say that, brother. I'm glad to hear you say that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. 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 Absolutely, man. So I work in a psych related nursing home in West Dayton.
Okay.
And oh my goodness, like it's just been one of the saddest things I've ever seen in my life.
Which is the hood. West Dayton is the hood.
Yeah, oh yeah, it's in the hood, man. Right. It's in the hood. And literally everybody in my building caught it. Everybody in the building caught it. And we lost, out of 180 patients, we lost 40.
Oh my goodness.
You know, so that's can't imagine. Yeah, yeah. And it was bad, you know, but we survived it.
You literally talk about a quarter death rate almost. 25% almost.
Mm. Oh yeah.
It's real.
Now, yeah. I will say this. Given the, and I don't know the correct lingo to use for the money side of things, but there was a huge involvement with the money with this whole thing, and there were patients that, you know, had to wait to be approved for me to see them, you know, because they can't swallow, they can't eat, they can't chew, and then the following the system and wait for the approval, the insurance certification. By the time I get in there to see them, they've got an open mouth posture, which basically means they're dying. You know, I could have made a difference. Got me in there a week earlier. You know what I'm saying? So that sort of thing does weigh on your mind a lot. You know, I lost some people I was very, very close to, but I just want to, you know, really just salute you guys and just drawing attention to, you know, men's health, because it's something that we don't really take we don't really take seriously, especially as
we'll take
men.
It seriously until we got to get a stent.
Oh yeah. I was gonna say I've been hypertensive since Oakwood.
Oh wow,
don't know that.
Wow.
Yeah, man. I don't know. Benign. Ran through all the tests. We don't know. Been on the medication. So I've been fortunate to have been one of those people that, you know, have been going to the doctor for the past 20 years to manage my blood pressure, you know. So,
that's funny, Will, because I would look at you, you're in shape, you're not overweight. You know, I know that you're an active person and athletic person. So sometimes there's that element too, Isaac. People just feel like they have a certain body type. It's like, I'm in shape.
Yeah.
I'll be all right.
Absolutely.
So, Will, tell me this.
Especially amongst us as men. We get to feeling invincible. We're in shape. You know, the outside looks good. Aesthetic. Right. You know, the outside looks good. But what's going on the inside of your body?
So, Will, tell me this.
You. And another thing that I would like to see more of is this Black men and this Black physicians.
Yeah.
Getting the help that they need, because they're at the top of the food chain. And I think, you know, they know right from wrong. They know this area. But how many of them are actually going to get the counseling that they need, you know, in the dealing with these patients and the dealing with the loss and, you know, and all of that sort of thing. So, I mean, I don't think anybody has all the answers, man, but.
I can't imagine losing 40 people that I knew in a couple of months. Like, I can't imagine. Amazing. That. Colleagues or people that you work with. I mean, you have some level of relationships with people, even if they're elderly. I just can't imagine losing that many people. You had a question for Will.
Yeah, Will. So it sounds like you manage your healthcare very well.
Yeah.
What is your motivation? Because it sounds like you know what's going to happen if you don't manage hypertension. You seem to be educated on what those next steps are. But what's your motivation to stay on top of it?
I'll be honest with you. My motivation literally is my family. You know, and unfortunately, I'm worth more dead than alive. But they don't need me dead. I've got three young girls.
Right.
You know, I've got to stick around. I've got to stick around for them. And I'll tell you this, man. A friend of ours, I'm not going to mention his name, James, you would know him from Oakwood, recently had a stroke. He's our age. This guy has our age, had a major stroke in the occipital lobe of his brain.
Oh, wow.
He was out running marathons and doing all of this stuff.
Yeah, two friends of mine died like that.
But you're not going to the doctor.
Right.
You know, and checking on the inside.
Yep.
You're all worried about the outside and your endurance and all that stuff. For me, it was my family, you know. And I'll have a moment of honesty with you. I fought against that vaccine. I didn't really want it, and I'll never admit it on Instagram. But I did end up getting it, and I got it literally only for my brother's mental health.
I think that's another conversation that I think is pertinent. I've run up against people, both of you guys, and it's good having another healthcare person on. I've had people, Will, that told me I was sheep for getting the vaccine. They told me I was sheep. They told me I was sellout because I've been someone that's kind of promoted. I've used my healthcare platform and my relationships as a healthcare executive and consultant to promote. I've always been a person that said, hey, I want people to educate. I'm not trying to jam this thing into your arm. Educate yourself. Make a decision. If it's not for you, then there's nothing wrong with saying that it's not for you. What I get frustrated with is spankies that want to make the decision for you and say, I'm not going to take it. So, Isaac, if you get it, Will, if you get it, you're a sucker. You know, you're getting played by the white man. You're getting played by the depopulation. Yeah. Uh-huh. You're getting into the InfoWars, Alex Jones, people of the world.
Right.
I think I don't work on the front lines with members, although working in healthcare, so I can't really do what I do and then not take the vaccine. What was your thought process as someone who was actually in a skilled nursing facility, a nursing home? What was your thought process, and what do your colleagues and coworkers think? Because I'm sure all of them don't want to take the vaccine. You're in West Dayton, you're out Trotwood, probably. That's a black area. So we know that that's a side of town where there's less trust in that west side of Dayton than anywhere else. It's not like Miamisburg. It's not like Kettering. It's not like some of those other areas. So what's kind of the water cooler or coffee talk that you guys are having people that work in that facility on if they wanted to get it or not?
So essentially it just boils down to distrust. And I feel like, you know, we've been distant so long. And we look at situations like the Tuskegee experiment and various myriad other situations in which, you know, our government has let us down, not only as the United States, but as black people as well. And so the conversation is this huge distrust. They do not trust it.
Paragon 7 Studios.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.